Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Bellingham podcast. We hope this message will be informative, inspirational, and helpful. Donations to support this work are greatly appreciated. Visit www.cslbellingham.org and click on the donate button. Remember to share our podcast. Thank you.
My name is Andrea Wood, and I'm the practitioner this morning, and I want to welcome you all here. I hope everyone feels welcome at CSL Bellingham. And I would like to invite you to join me in prayer. So let's join our hearts and minds together in the knowing that there is one divine intelligence that is operating here. And from this one, all life arises. As we say here, there is no spot that God is not. This one presence is here as love, as harmony, as compassion, as beauty. And I know that spirit is always uplifting, always affirming life. I see spirit, I know spirit as the quiet stillness in a beautiful winter morning. I see spirit reflected on the faces that I see here today. And as we come together at CSL Bellingham, spirit is here. And there's an invitation to join in spiritual community, an invitation to touch the peace at the core of your being and know. And there's an invitation to say yes to that calling. So with my heart full of gratitude, joy, and love, I'm grateful for the truth. I'm grateful to know that wherever God is, I am. I release my word, knowing it is done. And so it is.
Good morning again. This is my opportunity to introduce you to my new friend. Deborah Gay is a minister and has been in the Seattle ministry a long time and moved up here about a year and a half ago, and she gave me permission to tell this story. So one day, it was just about the end of October, when she decided to give Dr. Andrea a call and come up and have lunch with her. And Andrea had just realized that she had some things to put in place for the sabbatical she was about to leave on. And so they went to lunch on Tuesday. And Deborah was explaining, you know, she had been up in Cedar Willy for a year or so, and she was ready to be supportive of our center. And so she said, "How can I help?" And now it's history.
Lovely introduction. Thank you so much. Well, I'm delighted to be with you this morning, and I want to thank Reverend Andrea for permitting me. This is a great privilege to speak in front of her community, and it's a sacred act. And so I'm so blessed to be with you and so glad that you're here, because it's no fun to talk if nobody's listening. And I'm delighted that Kalish brought the menorah, third day of Hanukkah season. And you'll notice that this is the white candle, which is used to light all of the other candles each evening. And I found a lovely quote by Rabbi David Wolpet. And he said, the shamash, which is that white candle, is the candle on the menorah used to light the other candles. In the darkness of the world, be the shamash. And so that, for me, kind of crystallized the message of my talk. And so I loved that Kalish offered to bring the menorah today, to just hold that light for us. My talk is about holding an energy field for ourselves, holding the energy of joy and gratitude, and that we can do that, and we can learn to do that more. In a world that cries out for that light, in a world that cries out for the darkness to be lit and lifted by the joy and the gratitude that can move through each one of us, bringing light to the darkness of our world. So I work a lot in the field of emotions, and I've been working a lot with researcher Brené Brown's book, Atlas of the Heart. Some of you might have read it. This is a book that explores 84 different emotions. And she's a researcher who talks about courage and vulnerability and shame and empathy, has written 5 New York Times bestsellers. And she defines joy as an intense feeling of spiritual connection, pleasure, and appreciation. And she says, joy is very hard for us to talk about because it's an experience, it's a feeling, and it pushes the boundaries of what we can use written words or spoken words for. So we're trying to translate an experience into written language, spoken language. But it is also true that language can shape our experience. So cultures with more words to describe emotions, more words to help you move deeper into emotions, have that experience, have a more deep experience of emotions. So language can help us discover and deepen in and bring in the experience of emotions. So another researcher named Matthew Johnson says, we don't lose ourselves in emotions. We become more truly who we are. So colors become lighter. It's easier to move around. You find yourself smiling without even intending to. And spontaneous weeping can also be part of overwhelming experiences of joy. Brené Brown says that one of her biggest lessons was that gratitude and joy are linked together. They have an interrelationship. They are called something that she named an intriguing upward spiral. And that's a great antidote to the spirals we usually hear about, right? Which are the decreasing spirals of anxiety, depression, fear, a downward spiral. So this upward spiral, and we've got a spiral here thanks to your wonderful support. Gratitude, when you express gratitude, it actually, by the research, predicts that you're going to have more experiences of spontaneous joy. And on the other hand, experiences of joy, by the researchers, predicts greater future experiences of in-the-moment gratitude, a sense of well-being. So somehow they're building and interrelating to each other in an experience of expanding good. And we can do things to recreate or remember experiences of joy that we've had. And they don't have to be big things. In fact, I call them micro practices because they're super simple and you can do them easily, quickly. but they can shift your mood, shift your experience. And we're going to try one right now. It's called picture memories. And so what that is your mind is kind of taking a picture of a time that you were super happy or having fun or enjoying your life, and it'll store it away in your memory. You don't really know you're consciously doing this, but we can consciously bring back a memory of joy. And as we do this more and more often, that becomes easier. That recall of the memories becomes stronger, and you can have more of them. So let's try it right now. So just close your eyes, if you're comfortable doing that, or just go unfocused. And remember a time when you felt filled with joy. And bring from your memory a mental picture of what you see around you. Maybe you see colors, or you see people or sounds, or you're in an environment that you enjoy. And as you see that environment, what are you feeling? Just let yourself feel, what did that feel like when I was having so much fun, when I was happy, when I was filled with joy? There are a number of smiles in this room. So let's just take a breath and open your eyes again. Come back. It's that simple and that quick. That's one micro practice of bringing joy more often into your life. So now let's turn our attention to gratitude. There's an overwhelming amount of evidence that gratitude is good for you. Gratitude's good for you physically, mentally, and emotionally. It's correlated to better sleep, increased creativity, decreased hostility and aggression, increased decision-making skills, decreased blood pressure, and the list goes on. Robert Emmons wrote in the Journal of Positive Psychology, "I think gratitude allows us to participate more in life, to notice the positives, and to magnify the pleasure that you get from life." So participate more, notice more positive things, magnify the pleasures. There was a saying going around a few years ago, and maybe you'll remember it. It was, "Remember the day you prayed for the things you have now." Good. Some of you remember that. So this is a reminder that gratitude doesn't have to be linked to scarcity. So sometimes we feel like we can never accumulate enough stuff because stuff is supposed to make us happy. Stuff is supposed to make us feel whole, and so we keep accumulating, never stopping to value or appreciate what we've already accumulated. We're just on a game. This is a kind of an unconscious way of living, that accumulation is going to do something positive for us. But in practicing gratitude, we can experience emotions that make us feel alive versus trying to accumulate stuff to help us feel more alive. So Brown is defining gratitude as an emotion that reflects deep appreciation for what we value, bringing meaning to our lives, and makes us feel more connected to ourselves and to other people. So gratitude, appreciation, meaning, connection. I can tell you a short story. A couple of days ago, I bought a Hanukkah present for a friend of mine, and it was fun for me to go find the Hanukkah card and the Hanukkah gift bag and then buy treats, all kinds of treats to eat and a beautiful blue candle. And then I took it over to my friend's house and just knocked on the door and said, "Happy Hanukkah." And she was so touched. Now, it wasn't about the gift. It was about these things that Brené Brown is talking about. She's a dear friend who I'm getting to know because we're all new in the community that I'm living in. And she's surrounded by Christmas lights and Merry Christmases wishes. And somebody, of her, one of her new friends, has noticed she's Jewish. And so her time, her winter holiday, is a celebration of light, Hanukkah. So just by this simple action, I can say, I see you, I witness you, your friendship is meaningful to me, I appreciate who you are. And our friendship connection gets deeper. It's not about the gift. The gift was just a vehicle. It was about taking an action to express, you're important to me. I appreciate you. I want to be connected to you. These are the steps that Brené Brown is saying brings meaning, makes us feel alive, connected to life. So while gratitude is an emotion, it's also a practice. So it's a way of thinking, it's a way of doing, it's a way of trying, failing, rethinking, trying again. It's a cycle. It's a practice. It's a doing. And it enriches our life in very meaningful ways. So there are many ways to do that, many gratitude practices, which I know you know some of. And so I'll just list some that I have done, and I know you can add to this list. But there are gratitude journals, right, where you can write down daily three or four things that happened during your day that you're grateful for. And then you can make those different each day. That's the part I didn't know. I just kept repeating the same three or four things. Make them different. Then your understanding, your gratitude starts to expand. You can do meditations and prayers, treatments on gratitude. You can use art to depict gratitude, what you're grateful for. Gratitude check-ins. People do this at work. At the beginning of a work team, you might say, I am grateful for. Or at the dinner table with your family or gatherings of your friend, celebrate goodness. I'm grateful for this in my life. It's expanding your consciousness of good. So sometimes it's helpful to hear stories. And so I'm going to tell you a story of my own about the intersection of gratitude and joy in a very unconscious way. So life takes care of you sometimes. So here's my story. In the past year, I moved up north here from Seattle. I'd been in Seattle 35 years, so it was a big move. It meant packing up and getting rid of 30 years worth of stuff, selling the house, and moving here. And those first few months of my move, I moved to a beautiful area in Skagit Valley. Those first few months were a blur. It was the strangest experience. It's like I couldn't see. Everything was sort of blurring and twirling. It felt like I was a plant that had been pulled out of my pot and moved over here and put into the ground, but I wasn't yet connecting. I wasn't yet grounded. I was like floating somewhere above it. But with time, that whirling and twirling feeling slowed down and stopped, and I landed. And I looked around and I said, I am in a place of such beauty. And here's what began to happen. I noticed that 5 minutes away from my house, there was a 1,000-acre park, the Northern State Recreational Area, filled with meadows and forests and a creek, bird life, fellow dog walkers. It was a paradise, which I hadn't really even seen, and I hadn't known at all when I bought the house. But what was happening is I was getting a daily routine of being in nature, of connecting with nature every day. And I was feeling myself relax, feeling the years of stress and striving fall away. You know, I know the shutdown of COVID has infected myself and I'm sure many of you, that isolation, that the world is changing feeling. My mom passed that year, the day after Christmas in 2020. And I retired first from my government work and then eventually from full-time ministry. So it had been years and years of climbing the ladder, meeting the deadline, striving to produce. And nature was healing me. Nature was all around me, and I leaned into that healing and realized there was a deep joy welling up from within me that came from that daily practice. And with the insight that there was something I'm not controlling, I am just putting one foot in front of the other, a deep joy welling up, that I then experienced intense gratitude. It welled up inside of me an intense gratitude for the divine wisdom that had moved me. This was not a mentally made decision. In fact, if my mind had been making the decision, I would have been doing it much later, several years later, because I really wasn't even ready to retire or move out of the city. But something was clearing the path to any obstacles I could think of to put in my path of doing this move. So the move went smoothly. I'm now the next door neighbor of my sister. And we live on two sides of a duplex. And my mornings are me taking my cup of tea over to my sister Diana's house saying, hey, what are you doing today? When do you want to do the walk? And I'm in a community. It's a 55-over community of brand new houses built around a park. And we're people that have come from all over the country. So we're all discovering this beautiful area and telling each other about it and wanting to create community. So we do potlucks and game nights and all of those fun things that have nothing to do with politics or religion. So maybe you're thinking, well, that's great for you, Deb. But what about the rest of us? So, you know, there are people who are really struggling. And there are people facing injustice, and there's war impacting people that had nothing to do with creating that war. And so science of mind teaches us that even in the most stressful of situations, we may still create our own experience of those situations to some extent. We can consciously create an atmosphere that lifts us above the experience of the average. We can't stop the challenges from happening, but we can control our own responses to those challenges. So living in the law of averages, that means living unconsciously, floating through life without much direction, without intention, without focus, and in the worst of it, the experience that you're a victim of life, that you are without power to make any shift in your experience. And there is a hypnotic aspect to modern life, right? With all this technology and social media that keeps repeating violence, violence in words, violence in images, dividing us against all the rest, us and them. So we have to become conscious. We have to say, this is what I want in my life. Here is where I want my focus to be. And I take hope in the stories of how people are coping with the horror and pain that's coming out of Israel and out of Palestine. This is suffering. Suffering in and of itself, and it is wrong, and we must sort out for ourselves how to bring peace into our world. How can I best contribute to bringing peace into our world? So as I said, I've taken heart in some of the stories of hope that I have heard in this most tragic of situations. And I'll tell you one of those stories. It's about the group of first hostages that were being brought by the Palestinians to be exchanged. So one hostage that was being released in this first group was an elderly woman who had been a teacher in Israel. In the hostage release, the Palestine soldier escort treated this elderly woman with great grace, very gracefully, as if he was walking his own grandmother. And she was walking in a state of deep gratitude for his assistance. She needed his help to get that distance to the exchange point. And as they reached that exchange point, she turned to him and gave him a blessing, spoke a blessing to the young Palestinian. And you could tell that he was deeply touched. And they parted company. To me, this is an example of two simple people who consciously or unconsciously were able to rise above the constraints they were living in. They rose above the consciousness of, you are my enemy, you are the other, you do not deserve to be treated humanely. The young man showed us, I can treat you as I would treat my grandmother. The elderly woman showed us, I can accept your help gracefully and gratefully, like I would from my own grandson. These are simple people doing great acts of humanity. They are people that we should be watching and learning from, not from the promoters of war. And so my final example of stories of hope comes from Mr. Rogers. Mr. Rogers of the TV show in the 1970s. And he told this story about his mother. His mother said, you should always look for the helpers in any tough situation, and you should hang out with the helpers. Follow the actions of the helpers. And this is an example of the law of attraction, isn't it? If you're looking for helpers, you're going to find helpers. So let's act like a helper in those situations that we find challenging. No matter the difficulty, no matter the struggle, look for those helpers and hang out with them. And then you're going to discover that spiral of joy and gratitude because they've got it. And as you become that helper, you've got it too. And then you'll be that candle that's lighting the other candles, that's bringing light to the darkness of the world. So in summary, we can experience our own version of this joy, gratitude, spiral upwards, no matter what's happening around us. Now I know the days are getting darker and holidays can be tough, particularly if you're missing someone who is no longer with you. And so I just invite you to create a gratitude and joy practice for yourself this month. You can do any of these things I have suggested, the picture, bringing back the memories of pleasure, review what you really appreciate about your life, do some kind of daily journaling, meditating, praying, develop a I am grateful for practice with your family and your friends. All of these micro practices, my favorite, get out into nature every day. Savor the goodness in your life and build your resilience because you will face challenges. But with these tools and with the resilience that you're building, you can experience your own strength and your own courage in these times of challenge. So I'm going to now take us through a breathing exercise, and then we'll go from the breathing exercise into the closing prayer. So let's just breathe in through your nose and out through your mouth. And let's do that two more times together, breathing in, breathing out. Breathing in, breathing out. And just focus on the word joy. Words have energy. And so think about that word joy. And take another big breath in and out. And now focus on something that brings you joy. A person, a place, a pet, an experience. Focus on that feeling of joy. And let yourself smile. Let go of any stress, anxiety. Allow your body to soften. Joy. And you can tune into this feeling at any moment. And so let's take this joy that we've created together into our closing prayer. And so I invite us each to lean into this consciousness of joy that we've created in this moment. Knowing there is a divine goodness always available to each of us. And we lean into that divine goodness, that joy, that delight, that vitality of being alive, a feeling so connected to all of life. And that as we each individually go through the journey that is our life, we choose a focus of joy, a focus of meaning, a focus of connection to life. And I know that this is good. I know that as this week unfolds, that each of you experience your own aha moment of increasing joy and deepening gratitude for this very life that you're living. And so we know together, deep, deep gratitude. We let it be. Amen. And so it is. Thank you.